He's going for coffee.
What?
Nosy.
Get bent.
You get bent.
I mean, you're over there looking at satanic shit. I mean, of course I'm going to look and wonder what dark lords you're trying to summon into my house.
Is she looking at old pictures of you?
Yeah, she's looking at old pictures of me from like the 15th century. It wasn't a good time, man. I was upset. You know, the Middle Ages didn't quite go as planned. And no, she's looking at stuff for Lucifer from Comic-Con.
Come on now. One final season. Let's go.
Manny's excited. She wanted to know what you thought, if you saw any of the stuff from Con.
No, actually, I was completely disconnected with everything.
Well, she's typing it up, which means you guys will be able to hear about that or read about it on LRMonline.com, which you should be checking out every day after you check out our show, because our show's awesome. It's the Daily Cup of Genre. Welcome to it. We talk about everything here. And we're sponsored by Grow Generation. Yeah, it's where the pros go to grow. I am Kyle Malone, one of the hosts of this show. And my other host is Manny. What's up, bud?
Nothing much.
I will. Monday. Yeah, it is. My Monday actually started yesterday when I thought it was a driver's issue, but it wasn't. But after a driver update for my graphics card, my primary monitor, my like nice 144 hertz gaming monitor, wouldn't display. And I was freaking out. Switch it over to HDMI from the GPU, no problem. Check the display port to a different monitor, no problem. So GPU's good. The display port in the monitor died.
Oh no.
And this GPU and HDMI and all of that don't necessarily carry the same data that a display port, dedicated display port can. And that's how you get those gaming monitors up 240 real refresh rates. But replacement on the way. Jeez. But there might be some technical issues when I try to do some screen sharing. So bear with us, man. How was your week off, Slacker? I know you were working and familying. So
that's what's funny about it is that I took a couple of days off around going to a couple of screenings. So mm-hmm. I got to see Old on Wednesday, which was not M. Night Shyamalan's best film.
Is it his worst?
No, it's not his worst. Okay. And my girlfriend and I fight about that because she's a really big fan of The Village. Mm. And that's not his worst film, but no. I didn't care for it. And she's a big, big fan of it.
At that point, I think that one particular was just, you saw the twist. Like, it just didn't hit like Sixth Sense and Signs and stuff like that. So
I think for me, the Village one was like, really? Like they're just like Amish kind of? Like I was like, whack. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie in years, and we're actually gonna watch it again because my taste in films have changed a little bit. So I'm giving some films another chance. Like I watched No Country for Old Men again, and it was better than the first time I saw it. Just things like that. And then on Friday, man. I don't know if you've seen me raving about it, but I got to see Suicide Squad.
Yes, you gave a quick reaction on your Instagram and Twitter, I think.
Yeah, so I can easily say that is like a standalone. One of the – oh, no, it's Kitty. Don't let him scratch your eye.
Yeah.
It may be one of the top – 3 superhero movies of all time.
Wow, that's like, bold.
As far as commitment to being
what the characters are,
and just the way James Gunn plays with characters and highlights characters that you wouldn't suspect, and just you've seen the cast.
Yeah,
you've seen the how massive the cast is, and then what James Gunn does to make sure that the important people are relevant, and that they all have enough screen time, and that there's balance, and that the story is fun, it is so good. Idris Elba and John Cena work really, really well together. And
that's good to hear.
Dude, like, it's like
the last ensemble film that Elba was a part of that people were excited for kind of fizzled, Hobbs and Shaw. Like, people were really excited to see him interacting with, you know, a big action cast like that, and it didn't go so well. So it's good to hear this meshed well.
Yeah, and just think of, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, but now it's
unrestrained.
Yeah. And you can absolutely tell, and this is something I actually got from the press conference, you can absolutely tell that Warner Brothers had nothing to do with it as far as tinkering with it. And one of the great things also is that this film, when it was shot, it was not only on time, but it required absolutely no reshoots.
Wow.
So James Gunn got to do, according to him, exactly what he wanted.
Wow. That's pretty intense. I'm excited to see it next week. Sucks that I have to wait until next week, but Christine and I will figure it out. We might have to be looking for a new, get your butt down, Keone. We might have to, geez, cat. We might have to find a new babysitter. Our moved before the pandemic, and got a sweet job as like a live-in nanny or like follow-along nanny type for a high-ranking Navy family. So,
pretty cool.
But yeah, that we'll figure it out. I really don't want to watch it the first time on HBO Max. I really don't.
That movie is 100% made to be watched on IMAX screen.
So, but I might have to see it first on there, just to make sure I can see it to talk about it if we can't find something or someone that we trust by next Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, the sequences hit a lot harder on IMAX. And it was just fun, man. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know. I think, and it was great because it did remind me of the first Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. And but now with a lot more intensity and gore and violence. So, wow. I mean, that's ooh, weekend numbers.
Yeah, I know, right? Keone, down. You do not get on the desks.
Look, man, like old, it just wasn't my favorite, but it had very good cinematography. Mm-hmm. And
it looks very like
good.
It
was a very good idea.
Yeah,
it just seemed like he got a little too excited in trying to make it all, not necessarily work, but trying to explain everything. Like it's like we didn't need those explanations. And right. Some characters did seem irrelevant at times, but the concept was there, man. It was very uncomfortable, and I can see why it's number one.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're used to seeing horror movies do 20, 30 on their opening weekends, like big, you know, name horror films, like something from Saw or the Conjuring Annabelle thing. That isn't too far off. Like, that's not too shabby in my mind. Eked out the action movie Snake Eyes, and both of these went straight to theaters. There's no streaming digital co-release that I'm aware of. It doesn't sound very, very good for Snake Eyes. It doesn't sound like a lot of people were enthusiastic, and it seems like the weight of the prior two films weighing it down. And then Widow drops 55%. Space Jam, you remember when last weekend when people were dunking on Black Widow's 67% drop, mm-hmm. and then Space Jam has a 69% drop. Going back to what you and I said, we can't really look at Black Widow and say it's necessarily good or bad. It just becomes one of the first statistics to judge everything else on.
Right.
And if you look at Space Jam, it had a very similar trajectory. I mean, really, it did. We'll see. We'll see.
The thing also, what was really interesting is that I still haven't seen it, so I can't really judge it very, very well. But man, people were so upset about Snake Eyes. But it's something you and I talked about even from the trailer, that mm-hmm. it seemed like they were creating their own character and kind of as its own movie. Maybe it was good, but even following the quote unquote current franchise and then following classic G.I. Joe lore, it didn't seem like it fit.
Yeah.
And people reacted to it in that way. They're saying that, I think there was a general consensus that Snake Eyes was not very good. What's funny about Space Jam is I had to see it again with my daughter because right. she wanted to watch it.
Did it grow on you or something?
I'm sorry?
Did it grow on you or something?
No, I think it's just the experience of watching it with her that just made it a little bit more fun. In my opinion, it hasn't changed about the movie. You're absolutely right about, what did Fast 9, what was that drop? Do you know from its first weekend? Because the thing is, we're judging films
first week right now that have 67%.
Oh, really?
67, 69. I mean, and let's
from its first weekend?
From its first weekend. Yeah. I'll bring it back.
Huh? So what it seems like is that, and this is obviously just early reactions from numbers, is that most of the people who want to see the film are watching it on the first weekend.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, let's actually dig back a little bit. Let's see if I can do this. I'm not as familiar with the numbers as I used to be. No, let's look at I want weekly, but I want like there we go. Let's go to 2019. 2019, and let's take a look. When did Avengers come out? It was like April 13th or something. No, what was it? Because it got pushed back a week or something, right? Let's see. There's April. That's Captain Marvel. There's Endgame. Okay. So let's look at Captain Marvel's drop and see. 56%, right? That's you know, what was going on then. Let's look at Shazam, 54%. Now let's look at let's go to one more just prior year. Let's go to 2018. When did a big movie come out in 2018? Let's just click in July. Ant-Man and the Wasp. Let's look at that. 62%. Okay, so there we are, high 50s, low 60s, a few big movies from just a couple of years ago. Bear with me, ladies and gentlemen and Manny. What I want to show is that I think what you said is key. It's that people are going on that first weekend, and it's going that way more and more and more. So let's look at when did Revenge of the Sith was 2005 in May. So let's look at what Revenge of the Sith did. 49%. Okay. And then let's look at another big movie from just a little bit prior to that. Let's go to 2003 and go here in May and see what we can find. X-Men 2. Let's see what it did. 53. That's what it is, guys. I bet if you dig further, and I know that's a very small sampling and just a few big movies from the last, you know, almost 20 years. But Manny, I think you and I kind of hit it last week and the week before. Fast 9 and Black Widow are not to be judged necessarily as good or bad, but as the starting point, as like this is level. And now we've got three films that both made different amounts initially, but have very similar drops. And right. I think the key will be what happens with the Suicide Squad. If you regard a Suicide Squad is likely, I think, given the buzz, given how well Black Widow did, I think Suicide Squad's 100 million opening weekend domestic.
I hope so. The only wrench, monkey wrench in there is that it's rated R.
Right. So, that's why I said I think
if it does over 100 million,
right,
that is a huge success because of the fact that it's rated R.
And no matter what, I think we will see that high 50s, low 60s, maybe not a 67, 69, because this is a big deal movie. A lot of people have been waiting for James Gunn because it almost seems like he gets to show his trauma off in this.
So you get kind of an unleashed version where he was at the time.
That might compensate a little. We'll see. But I think that's the new norm, man. A 60 to 65% drop, I wouldn't think that to be too far off as the new norm, especially with shortened theater times of 60, 90, 120 days max. You know, that's,
yeah,
people can wait. I don't, but people
can. We'll also see with this weekend, as we're going to get Jungle Cruise. And that, by the way, is such a fun movie. I call it a mix between Indiana Jones and Pirates of the Caribbean, and just Emily Blunt, man, and The Rock. You can't go wrong.
That's cool. I like that. I mean, look, it comes after Jumanji, which you could definitely feel Jumanji-ness in the trailers and stuff, because it's
Jumanji was fun too.
And I love both of those. The first one of the new two, more than the sequel, but both were a lot of fun. We'll definitely see. And
so, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, regardless of what a movie makes, if that's the new norm, and we see that as, you know, 60, 65, maybe even some movies that still do day and date releases, maybe they do push 70, but I might dig into that a little bit more and do an article in a few days.
What I'm interested to see is Disney's going to release their premiere access numbers again, like they did with Black Widow with Jungle Cruise. Are they going to keep that same energy, or the buy is not going to be as high with this one?
I don't think so.
You know, there's always that variable, because there's some places in around the country that are going backwards as far as mandates and things like that. I'm not saying theaters are closing or anything, because they're not. As a matter of fact, Free Guy, they're not doing digital screeners anymore. You either show up to the screening or you miss out. So Hollywood's getting ready to just go back to normal. Hell, dude, I went to Six Flags and they had all kinds of rules at the door, and nobody following. The only rules that were being followed were the employees wearing the masks. I think it'll be fun for you and I to track the numbers week to week as all these films come out.
Absolutely.
And kind
of show those. We have quite
a few. And yeah, and now we'll chart them if need be. Make graphs and whatever. And then we can point at them all like erratically. But just, I think it's nice to see everybody going to theaters, man. And it's good. So, I did want to ask you, and I don't know how long we want to talk about this, but did you get it? Well, you and I were super hyped for Masters of the Universe Revelation.
For the animation specifically on my side, because I had always said, you know, I wasn't a fan of the original show, but this looked interesting.
So I think my reaction of it was taken on Twitter a little out of context. I didn't like it. my reaction was, because the thing is, here's like, I understand that every universe has a plethora of characters that you can use. Mm-hmm. But when you have a title character in it, mm-hmm. especially after such a long time, mm-hmm. I think the correct thing to do as far as fan service, especially because you're specifically catering to those fans, I don't necessarily think you're trying to build a whole new universe, is to show off that title character and let them do them, you know? What I mean, like, what would happen if you did the Power Rangers and for whatever reason the Red Ranger was missing?
Yeah.
Any of them.
But yeah, Jason and Tommy, and I would say Kimberly. Like, right. Without those three, even Kyle Higgins, he did definitely expand great on Zach, Billy, and Trini. But even he knew that's your Power Rangers Trinity right there, Jason, Tommy, and Kimberly. And you couldn't do Mighty Morphin without Jason or Tommy. You couldn't just have it just be Kimberly and one or the – yeah, I get it.
So my point was, I can see why people were upset, mm-hmm. and especially fans of He-Man, because it didn't really have He-Man in it.
Yeah,
because
despite nomenclature or people playing semantics with the title, the show has always been called colloquially, or however you say it, yes. It's not the official title, but it was always known as He-Man.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's like, oh yeah, all these like old dudes like being mad about it. It's like, yeah, because that's who grew up with it. Mm-hmm. I didn't, and so I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was fun, but I'm be honest with you, man, it did not meet with the hype of that trailer. Mm. That trailer was so well done with the I Need a Hero in the background. And then it was, I will say it ends in on a very, very high note. But it like, I get it. You're trying to do your own thing, but you got to remember who your main audience was going to be. And but it was nice to look at. I'm going to tell you that the animation was done very well. And I hope they keep making animated series like that.
Nice. So I'll say this, okay? I, again, not a He-Man fan. That's right. I'm calling it He-Man because that's what we called it for forever. I wasn't a Thundercats fan. My 80s tunes, 90s tunes were Turtles, Ghostbusters, G.I. Joe. And then I discovered things like Voltron, Robotech, and Speed Racer, you know, the 70s anime that was brought to the U.S. And that was before I even knew I was watching it. It was Voltron and Robotech, not Macross and King Go Lion. I can't remember the first Japanese word in the title, but Go Lion was the main series they borrowed from. And I just didn't get into those, but Kevin does have one point. Now he's got five more episodes to go. They're not, I watched his live stream over the weekend on replay. I didn't watch it live. I was busy doing something. And I caught him when he was saying, you know, we're not doing 30-minute television episodes where you wrap up a whole story at once. Okay. That being said, he packaged this and messaged it in a very, very specific way. And because even if the next five episodes deliver on all of that, they could. You burned a serious bridge here when you railed against a certain YouTube channel. I think it's Clownfish TV, I think is the name. I'm sorry, guys, if I get it wrong, please correct me down in the comments. But you railed against them when for all intents and purposes, it does look like they had a legitimate handle on at least the first five episodes of this show. I had a theory that someone at Powerhouse probably leaked very early stuff, because it's pretty specific on how spot on they are, from what I can tell, from Brian and others online, and people doing all the different, you know, comparisons and videos and things like that. So you rail against these people that are, you know, they cater to your core audience. You package and sell it as a He-Man show, and sure, maybe second half is, but this first half just you burned a massive bridge. So I can't pick a side. I can't be outraged. I can't be happy. I can't say fans are wrong for being mad at anything from the most ridiculousness, extreme reasons to be upset, to the most logical. I can't judge anything against that. All I can say is I've always liked Kevin Smith, and I've always taken him at his word, but it's only one word I took him at, and that's he likes money and attention. He always says that. I am a PR whore. I will sell out. I take him at that word. So when things happen like this, where maybe it turns out he's more Olivia Munn than he is Kevin Smith, you know what I'm saying, where he's got a more geeky persona than for the last 30 years than he did for the first 20 years of life, maybe. Or reverse that, you know, the first 30 years compared to the last 20. Maybe. But I want to watch this when the other 5 episodes drop, so I can experience the whole story together. Right. As someone that's not a He-Man fan.
Yeah, well, I was hoping to get more into it based on on this series, which is kind of what I like about reboots sometimes. It's like, oh, cool. Gives me an opportunity to learn about what this is all about. I was excited to learn about the title character. And while I do applaud your patience to wait it all together, I wanted to experience it in the way it was released. Because that has an effect on how it does going forward, and the perception of what's to come and what their goals are. So, it was fine. Like I had fun with it. I enjoyed it. I watched right through it. I didn't necessarily need to do anything extra with it. So, it was funny. There's a couple people who are always like, you hate everything. I was like, no, I don't.
You don't.
It's funny because anytime I rave about something, apparently it's ignored. Because most movies I love, I like. Yeah. There's just a few things that if I don't like it, then what am I supposed to do? Plus, I'm very strict with myself as far as based on what you've liked before. Mm-hmm. You can only give new projects a certain amount of points, because then it does, then your scoring system's all out of whack.
Yeah.
It's like, I loved it. I thought this movie, I enjoyed the hell out of it, but it's a B minus compared to, because I'm comparing it to other things. And so they're just two different things. How much you enjoy a film versus, is it a well done film?
When I'm grading a film in the broad sense of the film, I'm looking at three parts, I guess. The technical side, so, you know, cinematography and things like that. Sound mixing, you know, we've talked about how god awful the sound mixing was in Wonder Woman 84. And then I look at the story itself. Is it entertaining? Is the story engaging? Does the story make sense? Because it could be a kid's movie and the story still be good. You know what I'm saying? It follows the right beats. It's got good pacing. It tells a complete journey, a complete arc, or whatever it is that they're trying to do. And then I look at the performance of the actors. Now, when we start talking like grading things within just one genre or one franchise, that's a completely different scale. That's when I'm getting microscopes, electron mic, freaking cameras and studying frames and being like, this fucking Dutch angle right here is wrong. It was one too many, Kenneth Branagh and Thor. That was like ridiculous. Like, no, like that I reserve for tearing apart things like Marvel films. And, but if I'm going to review, Snake Eyes, for example, I'm going to look at the technical side of things. So how good are your fight scenes? Are they cut a lot? Did you manage to, you know, cleverly hide your stunt doubles and fighters so that you could do good long takes? I'm going to look at, does your story make sense and flow right? Even if it's not necessarily, you know, a home run story, if it does the right things, you could still get a B plus from me on it, you know, right. Even if I don't necessarily like it. Just because it follows what it's supposed to, I guess, in order to hit those things in our minds that make a story make sense, you know? Anyways, let's reset after this great word from our sponsors brought to you by, I guess I'll say, Cam Clark, you know, senior editor on the writing side. I won't just make fun of him today. Take it away, Cam.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, man. With all of the hoopla, it bugs me so bad that, like, people can't even complain about it. And Brian, who does the Animeversal podcast with us, he's a huge He-Man and Masters of the Universe fan. I mean, massive, like. Old cartoon toys, comics, the like merchandise, everything, right? Even he was like, guys, you say you're not trying to erase males or push males aside. You say you're not trying to get retribution. You're just looking for equity or equality or whichever word you want to use on screen, but you're not proving that because every chance you get, you shove the guy aside. Again, it's how they packaged the story. If they had packaged it differently, packaged it almost, sure, you don't have to give away that fifth episode ending, but you give it away that there's issues in Eternia, right? And that he's disenfranchised from, or not disenfranchised, what's the word? Estranged. Like he's estranged from his Eternia family, if you will. If you packaged part one as that, I don't think you would have the same complaints. Some, yeah, but as many, no. So it all goes to that. And he pointed out, it's like, you guys got She-Ra, Princess of Power, right. Girl Power, all that for multiple seasons. Why can't the boys? You know, air quotes, guys out there listening on audio. Thank you. Watching on YouTube, please hit subscribe. Audio, please follow us on your favorite podcast app. Man, I'm so bad at plugging throughout shows.
You've done great, dude.
But he's like, where's the boy side? Why you're not supposed to be erasing. You're supposed to be increasing, not taking away. And again, it was like you and I looking at certain things about Taskmaster and Black Widow. It was just like, we're not saying that it was someone's agenda, but does this really make any sense? Is it following? No. 1,000 times no. So I can agree with you 1,000%, Manny. Long-winded way of saying I understand why people are upset. And everyone's saying that they shouldn't be upset. Go fuck yourself. You shouldn't be upset at someone else being upset.
Right.
Honestly, that's the stupidest fucking thing you could possibly be upset at, is someone else who has no effect on your life being upset at something in entertainment. Like, how much money are you spending on the franchise? If all you're doing is watching, you can be upset too. But I'm sorry. I'm gonna listen to the guy or girl that spends money on the on merchandise and Blu-rays and DVDs and collectibles and shirts and all of that. I'm going to listen to their opinion given context to a story more than a fucking casual noob. Fucking sorry. I'm not going to take the word of a newbie electrician over the 15 year veteran, maybe over the like 40 year veteran. Cause when you get up that long, you don't necessarily stick with the trends, you know? So, but the 15 year electrician, I'm going to take his word in context with more weight. That doesn't mean that I'm necessarily siding with. If I can say I understand where someone's anger is coming from, that doesn't mean that I side with it. Doesn't mean I agree with it. Doesn't mean I disagree with it. It means that I can see it in context. And I think, fuck, dude, clone the shit out of you and I. Because
I think more people can cope
with that.
No, it's just, I don't know. There's a lot of people that are sensitive to everything, I guess. and like when I see somebody that dislikes something that I like, I go, huh, and I move on.
Or engage in either A, civil discussion, or
civil
B,
debate, yeah.
Fun, vulgar, what, civil one discussion. Of my, yeah, I one either my, whatever suits your, you know, suits you. But
one of my best friends and I had probably a 30-minute debate. This is what we do at bars. So, at our local watering hole, they know that when there's two of us sitting across the table, that the conversation is going to get loud.
Yeah,
we're going to ask for more beer, another one, and then we'll be engaging in all types of things. Mm-hmm. And one of the latest ones was with the Forever Purge. He thought it was terrible, and I thought he was terrible.
Yeah. Well,
so so we discussed the points on what we liked, what we disliked about each other the movie, and then at the end we went, you know what, we're never going to agree, huh? Nope. All right, well, you know, it is what it is.
Cheers.
Yeah. And then we moved on to the next movie.
Yeah,
or whatever. But that's kind of also the fun in cinema and TV and comics and everything, is that you're not going to like everything. You're not supposed to. Different movies are made for different people, and different, even directing styles might tickle your bone that it won't do for somebody else. And to just to say, yeah, I didn't like this, it's not wrong. It just means you have an opinion and you have taste in certain things, and that's okay. That's okay. I'm not here to bash everything. I'm just here to tell you what I liked and what I didn't like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no. It's really that simple.
You got it.
I will tell you what I found funny though. I think we should spend a few minutes on this, just because we talk about everything here on the Daily Cog. You and I sit on our couches or on our beds and we critique people, men and women, who have been training for years, maybe their whole lives, for a single moment in the great games we like to call the Olympics. So do I feel wrong for it? No. Absolutely not. God, it is there for my entertainment. Mm-hmm. And screw you if I'm shoving my face with double stuffed Oreos while you're over there, you know, on. Dude, I was watching water polo the other day. I got tired watching water polo. Those guys, man. Jesus Christ. How the hell, number one, do you jump up like a damn dolphin few seconds?
And ask him.
How the hell do they talent, are they able skill. To sprint back and forth? Dude, those water polo guys are more impressive to me than the swimmers themselves, because that is dumb.
100%.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I you know, I've never played the sport, but I'm gonna sit there and go,
how come you didn't?
What an idiot!
How come you didn't get gold, or you didn't score here, or you didn't jump there? I don't know two fucks about your sport, but I'm gonna judge. Yeah, I'm American, of course.
Yeah, like I was watching fencing. And it was just cool to watch. No idea how it was scored or anything.
Yeah, but you definitely got. Why didn't you block that? I would have blocked that shit. If I had a lightsaber, I would have blocked that shit.
Do it with lightsabers next year. They had what? Then also another sport that really. I mean, I'm by the way, I'm not saying that one sport is above the other. Yeah. But by the way, like water polo is more harsh on your body than like archery. Fuck
it. Yeah, that was like, my whole point, you know? About the swimmers thing. Maybe I ramble, guys. I'm sorry, but yeah, it's like take soccer. I don't care for soccer. It's
yeah, that's
for,
what makes you even worse in person.
Know, whatever. For me, it's too long. I don't like watching a ball just get kicked 100 fucking meters for 3 hours. Like, I don't want to. Football, American. So
like a hockey puck getting slapstuck all around a ring.
So what's the average points per game for Premier League versus average points per game versus the NHL?
Do they have an event called the World Cup for hockey, where nations participate from all over the world?
Yep. Yep. Suck it. Anyway,
is it called the Mighty Ducks?
So,
I'm just kidding. I like hockey fine too, man. I'm just being
so a dick. It's for me that aspect of it. It's just a slower game, and I'll make fun, poke at it, but I can't play it. I can't score like that. Even in my healthiest, I wasn't going to be able to play soccer. It's not my thing. Those guys are and girls talented beyond my right. wildest athletic dreams, but when you lose, I'm going to say something about it.
You know what's cool though? I didn't realize that in the Olympics, they have the traditional USA, like 5-on-5. Or okay, so just traditional basketball. Mm-hmm. Also, have 3-on-3 basketball, which is so cool. Mm-hmm. Like it almost feels like a pickup game, and it's like, I got neck, man.
It feels like it was kind of introduced to help other countries that don't, and you'll see that with a lot of different sports that get put in and taken out or might have semi-long stints in the Olympics is really just to give other countries that aren't as diverse as some of your first world countries,
right,
who get to benefit from the melting pot. I mean, let's face it, ladies and gentlemen out there, that's why America kicks ass in so much athletics. is because of the fact that their DNA is mixed with so much stuff from so many places that they've got the ability to build just about anything in their bodies. I mean, homogeneous societies, they are what they are, but you want to look why US dominates without the huge scandals you see in Russia, China, North Korea with their athletes. It's that melting pot. Anyways,
so with that said, my question to you is, what's up with their US squad, man?
I don't know. They're not. So I made a comment on there. I said, hey, look,
we don't need to revisit the comment if you want.
It's kind of funny what U.S. athletes have been seen doing versus what they are doing. Now, overall, the U.S. is still doing good. I think I saw this morning we were second in
place
total count.
Medal count. No, we have the most medals, but Japan has the
gold
higher
gold. So we're not doing horrible, but we've dropped some pretty big balls early on. And everyone out there saying karma? No, I would just say priorities.
I just think the world's catching up to us.
That's a possibility. That is 100% possible. And in some cases, I agree. Like you pointed out, I think, or someone on our Slack pointed out that you got people that come over here. They train.
Oh yeah.
People that are over here as temporary or permanent residents, but aren't necessarily citizens and represent their home country.
And dual citizenships.
Dual citizenships, and yeah. So that is a possibility, and that melting pot thing is spreading to other parts of the world, and not necessarily. I don't necessarily think you're going to see China or Korea or Japan all of a sudden look like the United States is big cities, but you could definitely see more Asians that had been outside of the country coming back to their home countries, or Europeans, or even African nations for that matter, that have been in the Americas or elsewhere, and then move back home. Absolutely. It's a real possibility. Regardless, America's gotten complacent, because the fact that we've let people catch up is an issue. So get on your shit, Team USA.
Well, just look at basketball, for example. Mm-hmm. They lost their first match, and they've lost 3 out of 4 now.
Yep.
Including their quote unquote kind of preseason games. And but let's be real, they don't have the top. They don't send their top talent anymore.
Yeah.
Because if it was their top talent, Steph Curry would be there. LeBron James would be there. You know, like like for a minute this year in the All-Star game, that five, when it was running with Curry and with Durant and James, mm-hmm. that was ridiculous, man. That's a U.S. team right there with maybe a anyway, but who are some of the top players in the NBA right now? Luka Doncic is not American. Giannis, who just won a ring, also not American. The Joker over at the Nuggets, also not American. I mean, dude, some of the talent around the world is absolutely catching up. People think that, you know, oh yeah, they're playing over there like double dribbling and stuff and whatever around the world. No, dude.
Yeah, well,
some of these countries are catching up as far as talent wise and with basketball, because they're producing a whole lot more stars now, and they're by far some of the top talent here in the NBA. And so when you think about taking, especially the big men are coming from overseas. They're not being home produced anymore. You don't have a Rick Smits anymore. You don't have a Shaquille O'Neal, even a Dwight Howard. It's crazy to think of how much they're catching up. And then same thing's happening with women's soccer. United States women have dominated for so long that they forgot, I think, to check their rivals. The Premier League, MLS, Spain, all these other places have their own women's leagues now that are very, very good.
Competitive.
And yeah,
have players training and
right, and have players US training with U.S. players and playing alongside them.
It's like it's like hockey every Winter Olympics or even World Championships. You can already, you know, name Team Canada's starting lineup for the last few years. You're gonna be, oh, it's gonna be, you know, Crosby on there. You're gonna start naming Russians like Ovechkin and Malkin. It is what it is when you allow these pros to play in these big league game or these big international games and tournaments. But you're right with basketball. It's kind of weird. America fought so hard to get, you know, allowances for the pros to play in the Olympics like they do, only to the last, like you said, few games to kind of ease off the gas pedal a bit
and not send their actual top talent.
And it kind of shows that the NBA is like, been there. It shows that that they didn't give two shits about the actual sport. It was to get that accolade, man, that Olympic gold. You could say that these players or this league or this got XYZ. It's cool, but you're not supporting it. Now, is it the players not supporting it? Because it's like, well, I just want to enjoy my downtime or
it could be.
What could it be? Or is it the league? What is it? Like, I
think it's a combination of two things. Number one, been there, done that. James did go. They did win and whatever. And but it seems like the pride's not there anymore as before, because think about the almighty, and I say almighty because it was the almighty dream team, mm-hmm. that went to the games, with a Michael Jordan, with a Magic, and you know all these other players. I mean, just ridiculous amount of talent who took it so personally that they went hard during practice at each other. Mm-hmm. They were so competitive that they said some of the best matches during that those Olympic Games were not on the actual court with the other teams. It was behind closed doors during practice sessions, mm-hmm. because nobody wanted to be shown up.
Yeah.
They all thought they were the best at their position and at what they do, and they were going to prove it to even each other. I just don't feel like that's really there anymore. It's a little different. Yeah, you know,
go ahead.
No, it's fine. That wasn't my thought.
I was just going to say, it kind of goes, it really makes you wonder what are the priorities, and it also doesn't help that saying that the NBA, they only play for the last, 3 minutes or something like that. Like,
oh no, that's a long game, man.
Bullshit or whatever. No, oh, I know it's BS, but that seeing people not caring for the sport when the sport's not on, you know, American TV the way they are during, you know, regular season. I don't know, man.
I think part of it is, send any NBA players we want, it's automatic.
Well, yeah.
That's what it feels like.
I mean, to a degree, but also just look at what athletes do these days. Like, I thought to myself, I was like, well, could it be they're looking at sponsorships and commercials and this, that, and the other. I'm like, you know, as much as you see today of athletes sponsoring stuff, most of the time it's shot in some house, quite fucking possibly their own or neighbor's house, and it's some just, you know, hey, I'm sponsoring this, and I don't even see that necessarily being a thing. So it's like, what are you guys getting burned out on? And then I think about some of the training videos I've seen, and dude, I mean, we do push our athletes quite hard to perform during season. Maybe it's time to go back to amateurs only at all Olympics.
I don't know. I don't think so. I hate that idea. If it's the Olympics, you should be able to send whoever you want.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's not fair for some countries, but that's the whole point, you know? Hey, there's other countries more dominant than the other. And that doesn't necessarily always help the United States, yeah. Especially like in soccer. Oh, wait, I forgot the men didn't even qualify.
Yeah.
Because we're such garbage.
Well, yeah.
Yesterday they beat Jamaica 1-0, man, in the Gold Cup. And it was so embarrassing watching them go three quarters of the way, get to the box, and then have no idea what to do with the ball. It was, oh my God, man. I'm like, any other respectable soccer team would be able to produce, yeah, 1, 2, 3 more finishes than what happened yesterday. Thank, yeah, God they were able to put in one behind the net after 86 minutes, I think it was. But man, yeah, I'm telling you.
Don't get me wrong when I say going back to amateurs. I'm not saying that I want that. I'm saying for like ratings and viewership. Because let's face it, if Team USA is not doing good, doesn't have a good story to go along with it, you don't get,
right,
the audience, you know. So, but no, I don't even like salary caps. Like, I get it. Like, I'm a hockey fan. It was god awful through the 90s and early 2000s watching Detroit just buy, you know, cup and
right,
and put playoff positions every year. But I still don't like salary caps. I'm sorry.
You know what's funny?
If your
sometimes
team can't win, if you can't,
sometimes it's good. I'm telling you, man. It's so stupid that the Dodgers can just go and continuously just buy whoever they want at some crazy rate. and
is,
still be in second place.
Should we not allow it? I mean, it sucks, but What leg do we have to stand on in a game of competition? What leg do we have to stand on to say don't compete this way?
No, I know it's true, but you know they got they just are able to suck up talent because they can just offer the most money. Hey, Albert Pujols became available. Cool, you have this much money and whatever this and that.
How did you go from, you know,
it's their TV deals, and I get Canadian it.
To the NHL now only having 7 out of 30, soon to be 32 Canadian teams. Only 7. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's because you can make more money in the U.S.
and that's the funny thing is, so like MLS, for example, has salary caps. And that is the biggest handicap because you can't buy talent from overseas or anything because you could only have like, I don't know if they've raised it or anything, because I don't really watch MLS anymore. Although Austin FC, Austin FC, man, watch some of their home games. They're new. They got a fan base, man, that rivals Europe.
Yeah, it's kind of set basically to where the smaller markets can compete in the broader Major League American, or, well, I'll say North American market, versus trying to compete against the European market as well. It makes sense.
But I, you know, back full circle back to the Olympics. I personally, being that I am, I'm born and raised here. I'm Mexican. I'm Salvadorian. And I've always enjoyed watching the Olympics with my dad. I do appreciate the fact that other countries are catching up and that people are taking pride in their countries and their sport. And I love that when an underdog can win, even if it means beating us up. So
USA, USA.
No, I am always going to be rooting for the flag. But at the same time, it's a point of we need to do better.
Yeah.
And I get it, though. This is weird also because, like, for example, there's a duo I was watching yesterday in beach volleyball who, because of protocols, COVID protocols, one of the guys couldn't make it. So they had to scramble, grab another guy. And these two had never
practiced together.
They actually zoomed each other, and it was at the court that day that they had that they got to see each other. Wow. And they played fairly well against Italy. Nice. But what do you at that point, it's like, hey dude, try your hardest. Hey, no pressure here.
Do your best.
And so, I mean, it's kind of, I don't know. We'll see. We have quite a long way to go with the games, but women's soccer got beat 3-0. Mm-hmm. And then men's national team lost to France, I think, in basketball. And so some of these dominant sports. And then so we have Simone Biles left, and to make sure that she brings it all home for us, a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She's set to beat Michael Phelps' count in medals, hopefully?
I think. I'll be honest, I catch things on the local news in the morning and throughout the day on Twitter, but like actual stat keeping, and I used to be one of those that I wasn't necessarily into all the sports, but I was always bragging about the U.S. and everything, and honestly, it goes kind of back to something you and I have discussed before. Sports have lost that escapism aspect, as you know, sociopolitical stuff penetrates every aspect of our lives, and I don't even want to bother with the bombardment of so and so didn't play or so and so couldn't play for this, that, or the other to even just see the medal count, because I only did it back in the day to escape real world. And now the real world's all over there. But you know what's not all over? The real world's not all over is LRMonline.com and our YouTube channel, where we live in the best fantasy world we can possibly muster, talking to all of our favorite celebrities, stars, creators, creatives, you name it. We've got it, as well as all of the amazing podcasts, Breaking Geek Radio, The Cantina, of course, the Daily Cup of Genre. We've got anime versal reviews, and guys, we do a lot of really neat stuff, like, you know, let me see, I gotta actually shrink because the dang toolbar's in my way. We break stuff. We're not a scoop site per se. It's not like our primary thing. We don't have Patreons out there, although hey, if you want to write a check, you know, DM me at Kyle Malone on Twitter. No, but when we do get something, we verify and sit and make sure the source is trusted and make sure the source is protected. And people always get, well, name your source. If we did, we cost careers.
Yes.
So what? Why would we do that?
Plus, nobody else does it.
Nobody else. And nobody. It's not like we're breaking war crimes here, right, or something, no. Guys. Okay, we're talking, and this isn't even really a story because Thrawn's name is dropped in season two, and Ahsoka and Ezra and Thrawn have a huge connection in the Rebels cartoon. So it's like, look, what I'm saying is check out the site, follow us on Twitter, because when we break something, okay, if you see something say confirmed, yes, it's not official, but we've been around 20 years, guys. We're not known in the scoop world for a reason, because that's not our bread and butter. So if we deliver you something like this, if we're putting our names on it, barring the marketing department deciding to change dates, and yes, you will never convince me that's not what happened a couple of years ago. That was because that's not a time sensitive thing. That is literally just saying, hey, we're not releasing that trailer today. So besides that, if we put our name on it, we're telling you guys something that we with all our hearts know to be true, and that's a great reason to follow us, because we're not going to sell you lies. We're not going to sell you dreams or what you want to hear. We're just going to tell you what the news is, and then we'll give our personal opinions or ideas on something. But we will never try to sell you that aspect as news.
Might try to sell you other stuff.
I'll try to definitely sell you some shirts in the future. Please, yes. Tell us what you would like to see on a Daily Cup of Genre shirt. Please. Yeah. Anyways, all that good stuff's there. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on YouTube. Like I said, hit the subscribe button. All your podcast networks, Spotify, Google, Apple, all of our stuff is available there. And Manny, do we got any cool interviews coming up?
Actually, we already have some cool interviews.
Well, I know not. What else is new?
I got a few ones coming up. I have one of the voice actors from The Bad Batch today. Nice. I have one of the actresses from the reboot of Turner and Hooch, which is going to be premiering on Disney Plus.
And then out.
Is it? I'm sorry. Maybe. I have an actress who comes in.
Yeah.
To future episodes. Oh, that's actually what I meant. Sorry. And then also, I'm going to, in the same vein where we had Cruella tickets, we are going to have Free Guy tickets starring Ryan Reynolds. You need to pay attention to that as we're going to let you guys know how to win those tickets. Also, I might be talking with some of the people from What If, and also Spare Parts from Disney. That's all coming up. And then last but certainly not least, something that's actually really important, we'll have our very own The Comic Source, Jace Milan, on one of these days to talk about a very, very important cause that he has been working on, an auction which is going to take place, I think, this upcoming weekend at,
we'll get some official Terrificon stuff to share
August 1st. So I think either tomorrow or Wednesday, I'll double check with his schedule, we'll have him on, and he's going to tell us about the amazing cause to try and help out this young man battle cancer. So that's a really good feel-good thing that we're going to be doing. And we're going to have more interviews on the Daily Cog for you. So I'm working on those. And once we can verify, or maybe they'll just be up one morning. Who knows? We don't know. We don't have a way we do things.
No.
We don't practice this. There's no script. There's it's just two guys, a Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper, and some coffee. And we just talk about whatever's in front of us.
There
is no script here, guys. It's just a bunch of guys rambling.
I wrote down that a couple of things I wanted to bring up about the He-Man thing, but I even left that downstairs and I couldn't even be bothered to go get it.
if we had rocking chairs on our porch, we'd be telling people get off our lawn. This is the absolute truth.
I feel so old. I can see the gray hairs even in the camera. On that note, guys, do please follow, like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for watching. Bye. Getting old sucks. I know, I'm still recording. Bye.